Good morning. June 30th, 2026. Time for your harm reduction briefing. Today's scan ranges from federal drug enforcement narratives and alcohol research setbacks to a July 5th public comment deadline and July 8th funding deadlines. Disclaimer: this software uses AI to aggregate content and transcribe it to speech. Please double-check sources before putting any information into action. A few media stories stand out this morning. Filter reports on a national piece titled, "If the DEA gets bad press for not seizing fentanyl, the DEA still wins." A related signal comes from STAT, which looks at how the Trump administration derailed alcohol addiction research and prevention. Taken together, those two stories point to how public messaging and federal priorities can shape what gets enforced, studied, and funded. Elsewhere, Talking Drugs reports on the growing momentum behind Europe's psychedelic industry. And in Massachusetts, the Gazette covers a Boston-area pro-cannabis campaign that plans to counter what it calls stuffy dudes with grassroots organizing. From the Social Pulse, one innovation-focused post is a fundraising push to support frontline workers with resources in response to the Lethbridge Safe Consumption site being shut down. Another promotes Breaking Free, described as a digital behavior change program for alcohol and substance use that now targets more than 100 substances, including synthetic opioids. There was also an opposition post criticizing supervised drug use sites, claiming drug use continues in public areas and raising concerns about children in parks and discarded needles. This is best read as an example of opposition messaging that continues to frame public consumption and public space as central arguments against harm reduction services. A few research items are worth noting. One study in the Journal of Public Health Management and Practice looks at deploying harm reduction vending machines across a Veterans Affairs system, moving the model from clinic settings into the community. That is the kind of operational research that can matter quickly for system planners. Another paper examines the relationship between risky addictive behaviors, metacognitive beliefs, attachment style, and cognitive emotion regulation in women undergoing methadone treatment. And a JMIR human factor study looks at smartphone-based ecological momentary assessment to monitor opioid use and overdose among people who use opioids, using a prospective observational feasibility design. That kind of monitoring work may be especially relevant for programs testing real-time overdose risk outreach. On the policy front, a new federal final rule classifies a monitor for opioid-induced impairment of oxygenation as a medical device in anesthesiology. And in Minnesota, the newsletter flags a new omnibus cannabis law as a state-level development to watch. There are also several current funding opportunities. The Health Resources and Services Administration has two Rural Communities Opioid Response Program opportunities, R-Corp Impact and R-Corp Planning. And both deadlines are July 8, 2026, so those are coming up soon. SAMHSA is also offering Preventing Youth Overdose, Treatment, Recovery, Education, Awareness and Training, with a deadline of July 16, 2026. For any additional funding opportunities flagged by the newsletter, check out the browser version. And finally, in activism, Mobilize Recovery is urging people to tell HHS that recovery support works through federal public comments. Faces and Voices of Recovery is also calling for public comments to HHS on recovery policy by July 5th.
If that comment window matters to your work, the key step is simple. Get submissions in before July 5. That is your morning briefing. Stay informed, stay grounded, and have a strong start to your day.